But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Victory formation. Mills takes a knee. And the regular season is over. The Texans get their 10th victory. Back to back with 10 wins. DeMeco does it again. 23-14. They beat the Titans to cap the campaign and head for the playoffs.
Yeah, Mark Vandermeer on the call. They are back in the playoffs again, just like last season, 10-7. Feels different, but 10-7, division champions, four seed, 3:30, Saturday. Man, don't tell me the Texans aren't a consistent franchise. Eight times in the playoffs, eight times, 3:30. On Saturday.
Also, I did not fact check this, but it feels right. They've been in the playoffs eight times and in the wild card round, but never as a wild card team. Always as the division winner.
Oh yeah, it's been a home game every time. Yep.
I don't know what that is.
You know what? It's in some years it's a testament to how bad the AFC South is for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and in some years, it's a testament to that the Texans have been a good football team, and hopefully they're a good football team over these next few weeks. They are, by the way, welcoming everybody on a Reaction Monday. Texans win yesterday, as you heard Mark Vandermeer say, 23-14. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne, and we are striving 6 days in to be the best in the world.
Yes, that's best in the world.
That's our goal in 2025.
Division champions.
That's a start.
Oh, yeah, okay, we got to be better than that.
That's a start. Right. Yep.
But I'm so happy with these division championships.
I know. We get T-shirts. By the way, you get your T-shirts at Academy. Ready to roll, it says on it. You know what I learned last night, Seth, watching Dan Campbell's victory speech after the Lions clinched the number one seed? That ready to roll motto that's on the Texans divisional champion T-shirts, I believe that's an NFL thing because it's on the Lions T-shirts as well.
Oh, really?
Either that or the Lions are trying to copy the Texans.
Classic Lions.
Yeah.
Hmm.
15-2 trying to copy the Texans. Yep.
Oh, there were all kinds of crazy stats about that game yesterday. It was the first time in NFL history that a regular season game was played between two teams that had a combined 28 wins.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, like, oh, okay, there's an extra game. So it's a little easier to pull off, but still pretty damn impressive.
Well, the next closest was 25, so they both pulled it off by last week.
Yeah.
They played last week, it would have been the most. So that's, yeah. Yeah, that was fun last night. It was fun yesterday, man. It's always fun beating the Titans, especially when Amy Adams gets to cry. I'm assuming she cried after the game. She cried when they won in Week 12. I'm assuming she was sobbing her ass off in Week 18.
I was almost kind of grateful that she's decided to pull off this little shtick every year. in that, all right, it was an emotionally, there's something to get up for maybe a little bit. And as, towards the end of the year, Sean, you might ask, like, okay, well, what do a bunch of guys who aren't from Houston care about whether or not the Titans are wearing the Oilers uniforms? This is the time of year when you're finding stuff to hate the other team for. Mm-hmm. And you can, if a few guys on that team, because there was a certain amount of chippiness, I feel like, okay, you know what? You go in for that. All right. You know, it seems like our owners, at least Hannah McNair, isn't all that happy about this whole scenario. Let's do it for Hannah.
Yeah.
Just, you find anything to latch on to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In this world where hate is around every corner, sometimes you still find yourself out of hate towards the end of a season when you're tired.
Sometimes hate is the right potion for what it is you're looking to accomplish. We'll get into exactly what was accomplished yesterday in the next segment. For now, I was watching intently. I was so back and forth on whether I wanted to play the Steelers or the Chargers yesterday afternoon. I don't know where you were on the whole thing.
I wanted the Steelers.
Yeah.
I just the Steelers are,
they're bad
much
right
like
now.
The Texans, they're running on fumes.
Yes.
And Russell Wilson just looks like whatever that little lanyap is that used to take him over the top, that's gone out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, he feels like a deflated, withering balloon of a man. And the Steelers defense isn't as good as they were at the beginning of the year. You could say the same thing about the Chargers, and yet the Chargers have the best scoring defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, Harbaugh versus Tomlin, they're both good coaches, but the way that this team, this Chargers team, is constructed, I just think it's a tougher test for the Texans. But it's neither here nor there. Either way, you get a home game, so there you go.
The odds makers agree with you. The Chargers are a favorite in this game. Chargers are fairly substantial for a wild card team coming into another team's stadium in the playoffs. I mean, a 3-point favorite on the road, and the Chargers are not exactly a team that have draped themselves in glory. I shouldn't say a team. It's a good team. A franchise that's draped themselves in glory in the postseason in the past.
Right. You got all kinds of historical narratives you're running up against here. Chargers constantly have been playoff disappointments, even after their most impressive regular seasons throughout history. That has nothing to do with Jim Harbaugh or anything. And yet, C.J. Stroud has never beaten Jim Harbaugh. So it's...
Yeah, I'd forgotten they... Forgot they were acquainted with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Back
so
in the day.
Nico and CJ will have to do something with a voodoo doll or something to try to just come to terms with that whole part of it.
Yeah. So it'll be Chargers. It'll be Saturday at 3:30. And I'm excited about it, man. We're getting texts in already early in the show here. I'm happy with the performance. As a fan, it gave me some hope.
Yeah. I was actually more excited about the victory than I thought I would be. Now, a part of it is just that the D'Amico's plan and what he wanted to accomplish, although I disagreed with it a little bit, he had a plan. He wanted to get out there. I think he wanted to give the offense especially maybe a little bit more confidence. He wanted to remind the defense what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And on that first drive, for the sixth time all season, they were able to go down and score a touchdown on the opening drive.
That feels like a lot because I lived through the Bill O'Brien era.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, and the Texans have done a good job of scoring on opening drives.
Yeah.
They just haven't necessarily scored a lot of touchdowns on opening
drives. They've scored 6 touchdowns on opening drives this year?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not even being snarky or tongue-in-cheek. That feels like more than the entire Bill O'Brien era combined, like in 6 years.
Bill O'Brien was awesome at closing out games in the second half, whereas Bobby Sloak has usually shown that he shows his best stuff in the first quarter, maybe sometimes in the second quarter, and then falls apart completely in the second half.
Right.
So any of those things that might have plagued this Texans offense, you weren't going to have an opportunity to see. Plenty of excuses abound for why they only scored 16 points in this game on offense. So that went about as well as you could have hoped for, given D'Amico's plan was to try to just maybe inject some confidence and get feeling right going into the playoffs. So that one looked good. I mean, I hated that I was keeping count and that I was very aware of this as soon as Nico Collins caught the touchdown. Nico Collins touched the ball 4 times on that try.
Yeah, feed him. I like that. If they're going to do that in the playoffs, they should do that.
If you're going to get Nico Collins 48 touches in a game, then so be it. It'll be a performance for the ages, but it wasn't like that drive was one that was textbook. Oh, yeah, They're firing on all cylinders right now.
No, but regardless of who CJ was throwing to, I liked the way he threw the football on that drive.
Yes, that was my big takeaway from that, is that, okay, CJ looked decisive. That corner blitz, that, or at least with an unblocked man coming off the edge, he did exactly what he needed to do, threw into the teeth of the blitz, got it to Nico. Luckily, the Titans were too dumb to challenge the fumble, and they kept rolling on.
Yeah,
third and two, they decide to go back shoulder to Nico, and hey, they made it look easy. So there you go. I think getting Nico involved in the shorter part of the game, that's a good thing. I think they need to continue to work on that. But then you get CJ out, he stays healthy, and you're off to the races.
That third and short play that you're talking about with Nico, the one where he went up over the guy and tippy-toed on the sideline, I mean, that was, unless you were going for it on fourth down, that was a bad play call. That was a little similar to the wheel route to Joe Mixon on third and two that they ran. I forget which game. It might have been the Tennessee game, actually. I forget which game it was. But I was kind of hoping that would be incomplete, just to see, like, okay, now let's see what game management looks like on the opening drive. You know, do you throw a low percentage pass like that, knowing that you're going for it on fourth down? Because if I'm not mistaken, after that Mixon third and two wheel route, they punted on fourth and two in that game. I think that was the Titans game, if I remember. It was at home. I remember that. So, but I'm with you, man. Opening drive, and they got him out of there. They didn't leave CJ out there to lose his confidence or get hurt or anything like that.
The riskiest move of the game was DeMeco going into it with that strategy of wanting to get some confidence, because if it hadn't worked out, if, let's say, Dalton Schultz had one of his all too frequent drops this season on that bootleg, or if CJ hadn't been able to connect with Nico on that third and short, and then if you go out there again and you stall out or something, then all of a sudden it becomes you're compounding the bad feelings and the lack of confidence and all of that.
Yep.
So I thought it was the right move, just to have that taste of success and then get CJ out of there. They left Laremy in for a lot longer than I thought they would have, and Laremy, to his credit, I think, has really tried to do things the right way in totality in the second half of the season. I mean, he's always been an astoundingly good pass protector. It's the run game and the screens and all of that. I think they've made some progress there. The two false starts, I'm going to just try to chalk off to, like, all right, I know none of the other offensive linemen had an issue with Davis Mills' cadence, but whatever. Laremy's been good when CJ's been in there.
I was ashamed of Ross Tucker trying to make excuses for Laremy Tunsil. And I thought Ross had an A-plus performance yesterday, but he's going, sometimes the cadence changes. I'm like, Ross, you do more research than anybody I know as a color commentator. You know that he's leading the league in these things this year.
I was shocked and astounded at a couple things yesterday, just from response on social media. One was that I pointed out the point I just made, that, like, look, I was basically responding to Ross. After the second false start of Laremy's, I said, well, look, if it's only a problem for one guy, then the problem isn't Davis Mills' cadence.
Right.
But I was amazed at how many people were like, hey, man, he's gotten better.
Are you talking about Davis?
No. Talking about
Laremy's gotten better.
I'm like, no, he went the month of December without a false start.
Right.
Including in which they had a bye week. Like, that's not...
Well, I mean, technically.
Included with Davis, though, too, people saying, like, wow, Davis had a great game.
That's what I thought you were talking about. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about both of those.
Yeah.
I'm like, how far have our standards fallen that a 50% completion percentage and Laremy only having two false starts in the last 5 weeks
is
a huge jump of progress. I don't get that.
We're damaged. We're damaged right now. We're damaged by this offense. Yeah. David, someone asked me on Twitter, is this the best game Davis has ever had? I'm like, no. There's a reason he was the starter going into 2022. He was really good the last five games of his rookie year. He had a passer rating of 102 in his last five games of his rookie year. Like, no, it's not even close to the best game he's ever had.
I had to go back and reevaluate it. I had to go back and watch all of Davis Mills' throws, because I had all these people saying, wow, Davis looked really good.
He did some nice things, but it was...
He did some nice things, but he was. I mean, and CJ's had games like this year, and I haven't said they were good games. 54.5% completion percentage for 128 yards and no touchdowns? No, that's not a good game.
No.
I'm not crushing him for it or anything. The game was what it was. It was a glorified preseason game.
All right, we're off and running on a Reaction Monday. Texans win yesterday, 23-14. We will we'll dig into it. Well, today's Black Monday also. There's already been movement on the coaching front. We'll get to it. If we don't get to that in the next segment, we'll touch on it in headlines. But there was one yesterday that was kind of shocking. But the checklist from yesterday, what exactly did the Texans get accomplished that was on the D'Amico Ryan / Payne and Pendergast checklist? We'll run through it coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday. This feels like the first, it is the first Monday of 2025, but this feels like the everybody's back to work day. A little more traffic out on the roads. More traffic up here at the studios. There's more human beings up here and stuff. So.
Good job, everybody. Way to go back to work in 2025.
Way to go back to work. I mean, Seth and I have been back to work in 2025 since New Year's Day, but that's because we're trying to be the best in the world in 2025.
That's right. That's right. There's no rest. No days off is a slogan I've been using for long before
the Patriots. It's a slogan that the team that was at one time the best in the world used to use.
Yes.
Now, they may still use it, but now they just fire their coach every year.
No days off. Now it's Bob Kraft saying it. We're like, dude, you haven't worked in, whatever. You haven't worked in 27 years.
Ever since he
married
the,
whenever he married his boss's wife, that was the day he stopped punching in.
That was a hell of a move.
Not his boss's wife. His boss's daughter.
Boss's daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
Sailed right past me.
Yeah.
So the Texans spoiled Amy Adams Strunk's little dress-up party yesterday. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's too bad. They had the place all dolled up to look like it was Houston. Amy, there's got to be people. I'm wondering in Tennessee just how people feel about. It's one thing, like lots of NFL owners don't live in the city in which they own the team, but then they don't usually, you know, try to dress it up like that.
Yeah.
Like the Hunt family, I don't know, because they live in Dallas, do they not? They don't try to doll it up like the old Dallas Texans up there in Kansas City and make it look like you're in Dallas. They don't like tease their hair extra high and go out and contract gonorrhea so they can pretend they're Dallas residents.
Right. I mean, they might, but they don't do it to celebrate Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. Not specifically for that purpose.
Right. I wonder what people think. I hope they keep doing it. You know, I see people, Texan fans, still upset about it. I'm like, they're 0-2 trying this crazy stuff. So let them keep doing it. Who cares? So along those lines,
Amy Adams Strunk is like one of those people that's really bad at playing practical jokes, but they insist. they're like, you should have seen your face. And you're like, all right.
About?
Like they pop a balloon next to your head and you're like, what? You look annoyed. And they're like, oh, I got you.
Got you.
Oh.
Did you see? I painted up the whole stadium and made my team dress in that.
got you. Texans.
I love that. All right. So the Texans yesterday, what got accomplished in week 18 yesterday? I feel like there was an overt checklist and then maybe a checklist that came more apparent as the game went on. Now, the first thing, first and foremost, they made Amy Adams Strunk cry. As far as we know. Yeah, thank you, Ben. Yeah, so we touched on that. Her little oiler party got spoiled. They left the game healthy. I think that's a huge thing. To my knowledge, I don't know that there was anybody who got dinged up in that game.
Mechie is the only one I would worry about.
But he was back out there after that.
Yeah, I get, but I mean, even you never know when the concussion tests. Sometimes there's a delayed response to those things.
Yeah, that was a rough hit, man. He got hit. He got called a penalty. I don't know what the defender's supposed to do in that case, man.
I know. It wasn't like he looked like he was launching himself into it or anything.
He was trying to break up a pass, you know.
I wish they would start kind of doing like what they've done with a hip drop tackle this year. There have been fines for hip drop tackles, but maybe one penalty, or there's been several fines for hip drop penalties, but they don't usually call it. They review it afterwards. And I feel like if it's bang bang and it doesn't look like the guy was really like launching himself into him, but whatever.
Yeah, it's so punitive, man. At certain times, that's the thing. Like it's such a for a penalty that oftentimes has like no ill will or intent behind it. It's just it's the force of gravity and speed at the same time, and like bam, all of a sudden the drive stays alive because of it.
Well, like the one in the Longhorns game, you know, like by the book, it should have been helmet to helmet, and yet it just doesn't feel like a
that guy kept his head up on that play.
Yeah,
you know, it's tough. So, but Mechie is a good one, Seth. He was back in there, so we'll see what the injury report looks like. They're back at practice tomorrow because the game's on Saturday. Yet again, another short week. It feels like this whole second half of the season's been short weeks.
I mean, look, it's one of the kind of natural handicapping things that happens in the schedule. Is that you show some success, okay, you're going to play tougher opponents the next year, and you're also going to have your schedule thrown into disarray a little bit.
This short week isn't so much because of success, it's because the Texans always play at Saturday at 3:30 in the playoffs. It's success in that they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But if they were actually like one of the marquee teams, they'd be playing on Sunday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they leave that game healthy. That's number two. All right, number three. They had a goal to gain some confidence, I think, offensively and wash the taste out of their mouths. Here was D'Amico Ryans. This is D'Amico Ryans on the offensive line.
Right now, coming off the field, anytime you can run the ball the way we ran it, I thought our O-lines collectively did a really nice job. I thought pass pro and running the football and rushing, like, guys did a really good job of staying attached on their blocks and giving us the running lanes that we needed to make those plays.
I gave a check mark on this one because I know they only scored 16 points as an offense. Kymie Fairbairn missed an extra point. If Bobby just calls a run down there on the one-inch line on third or fourth down, I think they score another touchdown in that game. Like, that one, to me, that the one where Davis landed on his absurdly long neck at the one-inch line, and they had the ball third and goal and fourth and goal, and they're throwing low-percentage passes into the end zone. I mean, Damian Pierce was cooking yesterday. Like, that was the one where I'm like, just give it to Damian twice. He'll score.
He was cooking. He did have... He only had one play that was for negative or zero yardage.
Yeah.
But he did have quite a few 1 and 2 yard runs. He had 2 1-yard runs. Mm-hmm. He had a 2 yard run. He had several 3 yard runs. And when they got down into the goal line area, it looked like a lot of their same old issues on moving human bodies.
Yeah.
I feel better about some of the things they did as run blockers. But I think they're going to have a hard time running against the Chargers. It's still going to be an issue.
Yep. I think the biggest thing in terms of gaining confidence offensively, CJ looked like himself for the one drive he was in there. Threw the ball, nice touch, looked calm. I thought Davis looked pretty calm in the pocket in his three and a half quarters of play that he was in there for. So that was good to see. I don't know that I feel like Davis Mills can win you a playoff game on the road or anything, but I feel like the Texans have a upper-level backup quarterback on the team right now, so there's that.
I guess there's only one throw that I can remember that was kind of dicey, and I want to say it was his first throw that looked like it could have been a pick six. He's trying to push it out to the boundary.
Yep.
And other than that, I mean, he had a lot of errant throws, including one to Deontay Johnson, but it was a serviceable effort. But it wasn't. I'm still a little bit surprised that people thought that was an impressive performance out of Davis. He's had much better games than that.
Much
when he's
better
been a starter,
no doubt. In his rookie season, he had better games than that.
Yeah.
All right. The next one on the checklist. This was a big one for you yesterday. I know on the pregame show when we talked about it during the week was get Deontay Johnson involved and get him some touches.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give a buzz on this one with some caveats, but let's first hear from D'Amico Ryans. What did D'Amico Ryans think of Deontay Johnson in his Texans debut?
Yeah, Deontay has done a really nice job since he's been here. I think he's catching up to speed really well. He had a really good week of practice and made a nice play there today for us. I tried to get it to him a few other times, but it didn't work out. But, man, I'm encouraged by his last week of practice and encouraged by the game today.
Two catches for 12 yards. So on the box score, it didn't look like much. One of the catches, though, was a 10-yard catch on a 3rd and 9, so that's good. He moved the chains. There were two other things I liked. I think CJ probably, that play down near the goal line where Deontay gets a little separation there, I think CJ puts it on him, and that might be a touchdown, the one where Davis kind of missed him. And then I liked that they put him back there for one time on punt returns.
And that he didn't fair catch.
Right.
I like that he had one return for 0 yards. He looked eager.
Yeah.
Every time they showed him on the sideline, you know, he looked like he was doing all the right things. Body language was good, all of that.
Yeah.
And then I think, too, in Deontay Johnson's mind, he probably was thinking, all right, look, they targeted me 4 times. A couple of those times, the deep ball on the sideline, he had separation. And it wasn't a horrible throw by Davis Mills or anything. It just, they couldn't connect. Yeah. So he showed the potential or the to be an option there or a weapon. The misfire from Davis Mills, like, he was open there too. I think in his mind he's probably thinking, yeah, if CJ's out there, that's me, and I'm gonna have a chance. I'm gonna get some targets in this next game.
Yeah, no doubt. So I was pleased, but the goal was to really, like, you know, get him involved. And he was among the guys that I didn't see him out there a lot in the second half. He was getting he's getting treated out kind of like how you and I suggested he should get treated, which is like, hey, I know he's only been on the team for a week, but treat him like one of your vets on the team, because you're going to need what he brings to the table come postseason.
Right, like that first drive, Nico touched the ball four times. That's not going to happen on every drive in a football game. No. So yeah, you need guys to offset all of that, and I think Deontay can be that guy.
It turns out I didn't know or maybe even think that this was a goal going into the game, but we knew the numbers involved. We knew that Joe Mixon had 993 yards coming into the game. We knew that Nico Collins had 968 receiving yards coming into the game. And it seemed like it was a goal to get Joe Mixon his 1,000 yards and get Nico Collins his 1,000 yards. Because if you watched the post-game speech from D'Amico Ryans, each of them got a game ball for going over 1,000 yards this season. So I'm assuming that I'm thinking like they left Nico in a little bit longer than they left Mixon in there. So I'm assuming maybe that was that milestone was important to them, I guess.
Let's check up on the preseason expectations. I know there are a lot of people clamoring for three wide receivers to have over 1,000 yards. Did that happen?
I'm not
a stats guy.
It did not. No, we needed some phony yards in the Tennessee game to get one of them over 1,000 yards.
Were they at least on pace at any point to have three guys with over 1,000 yards?
Yeah, they were on pace for two. Tank was the issue there. They weren't getting Tank the ball very much. So, no, that dream did not come true. You know what, Ben? We'll give a buzz on that one. That dream did not come true. All right, last one, I think, and I think this is a goal for them every week, but play a clean game. And I know, and I'm being a little nitpicky here. They won 23-14. One of the touchdowns was a prayer that Russ Yeast called up from the practice squad.
Poor Russ Yeast.
Love to have back.
That poor kid, man. I know it's his fault and everything, but man, that was going to be a moment for him. You know, his biggest saucer.
He took it the appropriate amount of hard on the sideline. Like
I know.
10 minutes later, they're going over to him on the sidelines as the game's winding down, and he's the only one on the Texan sideline that doesn't look happy to be beating the Oilers.
it was fun watching the replay of that with when Ross saw Ridley, was it Ridley? Streaking across the
that caught the touchdown?
Yeah.
It was Martin. It was the name of the receiver.
Martin streaking across and just like seemingly coming out of nowhere.
Ripping his dreams out of his
stealing
heart.
Stealing it from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that play. I like that play because it made me think, yep, they're going to give Will Levis another shot. That's the stuff that dreams are made
they're
of.
They're all suckered in, man. The Colts are bringing back Steichen and Ballard. They're going to run it back with Richardson, maybe the Titans. The Titans have the number one pick in the draft now, so that'll be fun to follow. As far as the clean game goes, the chunk play, they gave up a couple chunk plays. You know, the Ridley play on 3rd and 10 from the 1 yard line, which preceded Derek Barnett's touchdown, so I can't get too angry about that. Penalties were kind of an issue for Laremy, 2 false starts.
Yeah.
6 for 48 yards isn't terrible. Robert Woods, for a veteran, very sloppy with his ball security on that catch. Play by Mills, stepping up in the pocket there.
It was wet and rainy and cold and all of that. I get it. But look, Nico had a fumble on the first drive that the Titans chose not to challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see whether there was a clear recovery on that, so it might not have been a whatever. But then, let's see, Woods had his fumble. Damian fumbled once, and it bounced right back to
him.
That's
right, I forgot about that, yeah.
John Metchie had that one that was almost a catch, but wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost, in my mind, look at that as a fumble.
What'd you think about Stover going up and high-pointing that ball, but it got knocked away? Was that just a good play by the defense?
Just a good play,
okay.
I mean, it wasn't sloppy, whatever it was. It wasn't a ball security
guy
issue.
Made a play, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Bobby issues, you know, I thought the two play calls down in goal to go there. The good things the offense did as you pointed out earlier, they scored on their opening drive. Well, they've done that several times this year. Like, this isn't anything where Bobby gets plus 10 for that, Bobby Slowick. And then a 92-yard run by Damian Pierce. I mean, I guess you drew up that play, but, you know, it's not like that was an eight-play, 92-yard drive where you're just piecing the other team and playing chess while the other DC is playing checkers.
Yeah.
That sequence down near the goal line, like, re-soured me again. I'm like, oh, come on, man, just pound it in.
I guess that's where this is where I get stuck, though, is that I know that the go-to is, okay, criticize the play calling, but they can't run the ball. Like, even what they were doing yesterday, they can't run the ball in short yardage or goal line situations. So, I put back on Bobby as the offensive coordinator because they've not been able to get the run game going for two straight years now. That's where I get in a pinch where I want to criticize Bobby Slowick, but for different reasons than everybody else is criticizing him.
I'm with you. I've watched the same run game you have all year, so I agree with you on that. I just thought they were doing some good things. Like, Damian, if you take out his 92-yard run, he had 18 carries for 84 yards. You know, he was hitting it at 5 yards. And I know there's an 11-yard and a 15-yard, as you pointed out. There's some ones and twos in there. You only needed one down there. Those are the little things. It wasn't a totally clean game, but I thought they checked off most of the things. The biggest one, stay healthy. And they stayed healthy in the game yesterday, so that was good. All right, we'll do headline. Thank you, Ben. Ben, Gary, our producer, is especially excited about them being healthy. Gear up for the playoffs at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Thanks to our friends at Academy for getting us ready for this weekend. We got our ready-to-roll playoff T-shirts. We got one hanging in the studio here. As an homage to the postseason division championship hats, you can get all of yours at your local Academy Sports and Outdoors before this weekend. Headlines up next, not just the Texans, but news around the NFL. The playoffs are set and Black Monday is underway. We'll get to it coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. The Texans win yesterday, 23-14. The final score. Here was D'Amico Ryans after the game on what the team accomplished yesterday.
Proud of our guys for back-to-back 10-win seasons, finishing undefeated on the road in our division. Just efforts today by DP, starting with him, to have over 170 yards rushing and a long run. Like, it was really good to see him be productive and make plays for us in the running game. And I thought Davis did a really nice job stepping in. He's efficient, moving the football down the field. CJ, our first drive out, thought he did a really nice job of operating, running the offense, guys operating in an efficient manner. So just proud of the collective effort from everyone. Defensively, Derek Barnett had a big day for us. To get two sacks and to get the fumble recovery for a touchdown, that was a huge play for us. So we had a lot of guys play, a lot of guys made plays, but what I'm most proud of is that guys played our brand of football.
Yeah, D'Amico laid it all out. He just did all our work for us, Seth. He just laid everything out that happened in that game yesterday.
He had, and Derek Barnett, who is being inducted into the Circle of Swarm for this week today, because we screwed up and didn't put him in.
That was
last
my.
Time.
It was all my fault. It was a total oversight last time. Yes.
That was my oversight too. But you had the chance to make it right with the sixth selection. You did not. Barnett was single-handedly responsible for three drive-killing series.
He was great
in that. So or drive-killing plays in a series. He had a tackle for a loss. He had a sack. And then he had that recovered fumble. I guess you can't say he forced the fumble. Recovered fumble for a touchdown. But with one of the more brilliant runs we've seen.
He put that guy on his ass.
I wonder. But the ball was already out by the time he hit him after the ball was already gone.
Yeah.
It almost looked like he was kind of hitting him at first almost just out of like, oh, okay, this was a fake, but I'm going to hit him. And then he saw the ball as he was hitting him and picked it up.
Yep.
And then it was just such a nice piece of running. Because he looked to the outside, because usually that's where a cornerback's going to be coming up. But Miles Bryant was too far behind him. And then he just took it from there. Neville Hewitt gave him a nice block, but then didn't get out of his way fast enough, so Barnett shoved Neville Hewitt, and then he had that that Mason Rudolph looking tight end trying to tackle him, and wide receiver.
I think it was that Kinsey, number 12.
Report.
Yeah,
yeah,
just hanging off of him. Yeah,
yeah, They had a, I felt like half of the Titans' skill position players were Mason Rudolph. Every time I saw, I kept thinking there was a fake play or something. Like, why is Mason Rudolph? Oh, no, that's a tight end.
That's a tight end. Oh. That's Wiley. Yeah.
Oh, that's a receiver. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's all these clunky white dudes out there at their skill positions.
They have the number one pick in the draft, the Titans do, and I'm sure they'll come up with a strategy, probably a poor one for what they do with that pick. But you're right. Their main strategy to rebuild the team should be have less guys that look like Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Less Mason Rudolph lookalikes, and now we're going to climb back into this division and get back into the race. You're right. They do have a lot of guys that look like that. It'll be the Chargers that the Texans play in the playoffs on Saturday. The Chargers, by virtue of their win over the Raiders yesterday afternoon. Close game for a little while, and then the Chargers put it on them in the second half. And it'll be the Steelers headed to Baltimore as a sixth seed. Denver, albeit against the backups for the Chiefs, looked very impressive yesterday as the seventh seed. They beat the Chiefs 38-0, and Bo Nix and Sean Payton had a hell of a season this year.
They did.
I think the Payne and Pendergast, part of being the best show in the world is knowing when to eat a little bit of crow, and I'm willing to eat a little bit of crow on the Sean Payton Bo Nix exacta in Denver.
There will be no crow eaten. They've got to do something, Sean.
I think they've done enough. Like that. I mean, I had the under on them this season for wins. Yeah. Like them making the playoffs is enough for me.
I think honestly, Peyton's work with Bo Nix has been the most impressive thing because he still does a lot of raw rookie type things, but Peyton has really squeezed a lot of it out of him. And for a guy that was kind of out there in the preseason just winging it and freelancing and doing a lot of stuff, remember there was a lot of excitement over Bo Nix in the preseason where you'd watch it and you'd say, yeah, that's not going to fly in the regular season. He ironed a lot of that out of his game, and I think that like Sean Payton brought him along at the right speed, and it was an impressive rookie performance.
Yeah, well, and he wasn't, to your point, he wasn't great even at the beginning of the year in the regular season. Yeah. I remember reading articles about Deshaun Watson and just how bad Deshaun Watson was, and they'd say out of 222 quarterbacks since 2000 that have thrown X amount of passes, Deshaun is 221 in EPA per snap or whatever. Bo Nix was in those articles. Like, Bo Nix was down there that low. And now he looks, I mean, he was amazing yesterday. At one point, he was like 23 of 25 for almost 300 yards. He was really, really good yesterday. So the playoffs are set. The big in-season Super Bowl last night for the number one seed in the NFC. Again, another game that was close for a while. And then the Lions put it on the Vikings in the second half. Not the worst version of Sam Darnold because he wasn't turning the ball over, but the Vikings in the first half of that game had so many opportunities down in the red zone for the Lions, and they kept going for it on fourth down. And Darnold just, man, like either down there he wasn't seeing the field or the crowd was distracting him, or we'll give the Lions credit. They were really good in coverage. They were very aggressive in coverage. You know, for an undermanned team going against Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, they were very aggressive defensively, and it worked yesterday. The Lions, that's going to be tough going through that stadium, and I don't care how banged up they are, that's going to be a tough road in the NFC to go through there.
The fact that they've been able to do this as banged up as they are reminds me of the Packers' last Super Bowl run.
2010.
Remember when they had six starters out on defense?
They had like over 20 guys on injured reserve that year.
Yeah. So, the credit to Dan Campbell and that staff.
Yeah.
But it was impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah, and you're right. Sam Darnold, this is where you start to wonder, like, okay, there's the reclamation project quarterback.
Yes.
And it always looks good when they're on a good team and what have you, but what happens when you get into the playoffs? And in those very, very big moments, is Sam Darnold and his previously punchable face, is that who you want back there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Last night, it looked a lot like the old Sam Darnold. So we'll see what happens. But now they go on the road. They play the Rams in the first round of the playoffs. Jerod Mayo fired. This happened like right after the game yesterday that the Patriots beat the Bills to essentially forego the number one overall pick in the draft. I don't know where the Pats are picking, maybe third or fourth. Had they lost to the Bills, they would have been picking number one. Right after the game, Robert Kraft puts out a statement saying, we're firing Jerod Mayo. The thought, we got a ton of texts in the post-game show yesterday, Seth, when that happened, and a lot of them were like, well, Mike Vrabel's probably looking for real estate up in Boston if he doesn't have some already that he kept up there from being a player. Like, people seem to think that Vrabel is available. It's one of those things where you go, okay, we like Gerard Mayo, but we really love Mike Vrabel, and it's not like it'd be horrible to fire a coach after a 4-13 season.
I wonder if you're Bob Kraft, at some point you gotta start to think, wait a minute, maybe this running it back thing and trying to keep the legacy and lore of the previous Patriots dynasty alive is maybe not the right strategy. And that, okay, whatever I'm thinking, like, and it's impossible not to be affected by your own personal biases and all of that, so you might have to say, all right, look, I don't trust myself, given our grand plan to recreate what we once had, including bringing back a guy that played for that team to coach the team.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a little too close to the situation.
Maybe. Do you think Vrabel, would you not hire Vrabel if you were them? Do you think Vrabel would be a good hire or a bad hire? I totally get your point.
I think he's a good hire in general, but I don't know if he's the right hire for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And because of all of that, it's always just a total crapshoot picking a coach. But I think that they gotta, like, Bob Kraft has got to strike out on his own and do it on his own two feet. Bob, it's time for you to grow up.
It is time for you to grow up at age 85 or whatever you are. Yeah,
yeah, be an actual owner instead of just glomming on to Belichick and Brady.
The Colts are welcoming back Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard next year. For that, we thank them. We might even acknowledge the Colts for that. Rockets beat the Lakers last night, 119-115. Amen Thompson, he needs to get suspended for two games. All the time, because he comes back. Now, granted, he'd only play a third of the season if he did that. But he came back like a house on fire last night, man.
As did LeBron James, because the Rockets had a 22-point lead early in the game. Third quarter, the Lakers scored, I think it was 40 points in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing, though, is like the offensive rebounding was drastically in favor of the Rockets. It's not like they looked like a non-scrappy bunch or that they got lazy or anything. It was just one of those moments where, okay, LeBron's gonna LeBron, and the Rockets withstood the storm, and it was really, really nice to have Amon Thompson back for it.
23 points, 16 rebounds. Fred VanVleet, a big steal at the end of the game. Alperen Şengün missed a free throw to give the Lakers a chance if they hit a three to tie the game, and they were inbounding the ball. Fred VanVleet steps in, gets the steal, and the Rockets get a win. Man, Texans beat the Titans. Rockets beat the Lakers. I feel like the Astros need to play like a Sandlot game with the Yankees or the Rangers somewhere. That was kind of fun yesterday, beating a couple of hated teams for our Houston squads.
I like that you're putting the Titans into the same category as the Lakers.
Just saying
it
in terms of hate. You know, like, yeah, you're just, yeah, just, you know, yeah, like, I can't, you know, beggars, that's who they play. That's all I can do. Yeah.
I don't hate it's just a different type of hatred for the Titans than it would be for one of those other teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's hit the 7 o'clock hour here. Let's relive some of what happened yesterday with the Texans. The good, the bad. And how does it make us feel as we head towards the Chargers game on Saturday? We will acknowledge big performances at 7:20 in a segment we call Acknowledge Me. We'll do all of that coming up next.